Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, we have, as I promised, on the line, the Neutral Sisters. We have the Neutral Sisters calling from Houston, Texas, on the line. And we've just been featuring their CD. Are you there, Tony?
Well, I'm here. This is Bianca, part of Neutral Sisters. And Kira is coming along any second now.
Okay. Bianca.
I want to say thank you for inviting us onto your show, first of all.
Well, you're quite welcome. And I want to say that the CD is fantastic. I love it. And we played every cut, actually.
I noticed that. Thank you.
Hello, hello, hello. This is Kira. I'm going to butt in.
Okay. No, you're not butting in, Kira. You're just, hey, this is how it's supposed to be. You're right on time. So,
the island thing.
An island thing. Soon come, eh?
already.
I hear you. Well, listen, let the listening audience in Binghamton know who you are and where you're from and tell them about the music and what you're doing.
Okay. Well, firstly, we are two natural-born sisters, you know, can't get any closer. We started our group together, or started singing together at the end of 1998. We became Neutral Sisters. The songs from this album, we had written these songs and had them and put the harmonies and melodies together for them. We had them for actually 3 years before we got together with musicians.
Mm-hmm.
Which was kind of funny, but it's, everything is in God's hands anyway, for us.
True.
And it's like as if it just we got led to. We're in Jamaica, and we got linked through our producer and engineer, John Pops Dowling, in Jamaica, who worked a lot with UB40. He connected us with Sly and Robbie. And the story is that we had just wanted to have them on a cut. We were like, oh, Pops, just please run it by them and
kind of help pick up the album, have Grammy winners on the album.
And we were like, yes, please, just let them have a sample of what we're doing and see if they're interested in helping us out. And Pops went into Kingston, which is, you know, the capital of Jamaica for all those people that aren't really familiar with the island.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, he went down there, and he didn't manage to see Robbie. He went back to Ocharius, and then at 11 o'clock that night, Robbie called and said, hey, don't let anybody touch these girls. We want to work on their album. So from there, it kind of just took on a life of its own, and we combined musicians and artists, and everybody just got together and just vibed, and it was just amazing.
And Rothschild, you know what's amazing is that they're such busy musicians, and you know it's not really something that they can just put aside a whole heap of time unless money's involved, but it was kind of like a labor of love, and they just loved the music. So,
and they loved your beautiful faces, I'm sure.
It did help. Come on.
I think it was a message, you know.
Definitely.
And what we're coming with positively on a female.
Of course, of course.
Yeah, totally.
That's what I feel that the women in this genre should be heard. And, you know, I was telling your father that Mother's Day I had 3 hours of strictly women in reggae. And there are so many, but we know that in the business it's a man-run thing. And we just have to keep plugging and fighting, you know, because I was a single parent, and I raised a girl child, so you know I have that kind of feeling, like, you know, don't depend on anybody. You get out and do your own thing. And when I see
enough respect to you,
give thanks for that, and enough respect to your dad. And you want to give us, the listening audience, a little background on, because you know when you look at the pictures, you know, when I checked the website out, I said, oh my God, and it reminded me of my daughter. But when you want to tell us where you guys are from and your origin, parents and all of that, and you know, because I know Kenya is in there and Jamaica, and then your dad told me about Birmingham in England. So just let the listening audience know.
Well, first of all, our father was born in England and our mother was born in Jamaica.
Mm-hmm.
And we started off, my parents were free spirits, so we naturally have it in our blood too, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Moved down to Africa, where Kira was born first, and then me, Bianca. And we were there for about 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
No. It was like...
Well, they were there. They were there quite some time. Our dad used to take people on safaris for a living. And then the procreation was a natural fact. And so...
Next step in the journey was England. We moved on up, back up to England, to Dad's home.
Mm-hmm.
And we were there for about 7.5 years. And then we then proceeded on to Jamaica. But England gave us a lot of foundation with the British system, the British educational system. I just want to big that up for sure because, the
very
English...
Very solid
background.
And a very down-to-earth culture.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And then from England, we moved to Jamaica, as Bianca said. And because Jamaica was at one time a British Commonwealth, I think the transition was... It wasn't so much of a... I mean, true enough, the culture is, it was a culture shock to an extent, but, as the core of it was something that we were familiar with as well. So it was, and it's our roots anyway, because we've got ancestors from the 1500s buried up in Newcastle, way up in the mountains where the coffee is grown in Kingston.
Up. Wow.
So,
we come from a natural.
It's a natural thing. Serious.
And then the way how we managed to reach the U.S. is because we have our family on my mother's side started traveling and they managed to land themselves here in Texas, and so we just started coming over here to get some of the American vibe, see what's up, and broaden horizons in that way too.
So you're based in Houston, right?
We're based here right now, yes.
And where the music all started from, where our actual group started from.
But that weather in Houston is so unpredictable, just like this place.
Lord, and the heat here is so humid. It's like, if it's 90 here, it feels like 100.
Wow.
It's just like, shaka.
So,
in between is nice.
Let us know where you guys are going to be playing, because I know your dad was telling me something about New Orleans, but let the listeners know the whole thing with that show.
Well, it's the International Arts Festival, and it's in New Orleans, and it's on the weekend of the 10th. It's the 10th, 11th, and 12th, and we will be performing on the Friday downtown. We're doing there's a cultural show that is honoring all different cultures, and so we're going to be down there performing there downtown, and then also the big festival show is on the Sunday afternoon. We'll be performing at 2:00 in the afternoon on that show.
And festivals are the best. I love festivals.
And who's on the show with you guys?
Oh my gosh, there's a massive lineup.
I know Maxi Priest is coming.
Whoa.
Morgan Heritage.
They're bringing in Akon. He's going to be there.
Uh huh.
He's a hot thing right now.
Dougie Fresh. A whole lineup of artists that I do not have in front of me.
Right. It's just what can you... Do you have the website where people can check it out?
Oh, the website is internationalartsfestival.com.
Okay, internationalartsfestival.com.
And then also on our website, neutralsisters.com, you can see all the different places we're performing, and that information is also on there. So you have to check out the website.
Oh, I know they do. Listen, you have to let the listeners know where they can get the CD from.
Well, right now, they can get the CD online. Mm-hmm. Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, BestBuy.com. Those are a couple. And if you go to Google, it's funny. I mean, we find out ourselves that there are other places and other ways because we'll type neutral sisters and say, oh, really?
Google is amazing.
Just get on top of these people out there.
you guys are amazing because I can hear the British accents. I can hear the Jamaican accents. I mean, it's so amazing. I love that.
You know what's funny? Is when people meet us, or this is Bianca speaking, when people meet me, it's like, it's so in and out. The accent is so in and out. It's like English, and then it's Jamaican, and then they're trying to figure it out. And I'm like, don't figure it out. Don't worry about it. Mix up.
Well, it was like Burning Spear said, a whole leap of mix up.
Right. And that's why we're just about unity, because we are in the ultimate melting pot, which is the USA. And, we're coming with such a mix of our own of cultures within us. That we embrace all of our cultures that are within us and everything, and we just want everybody to just peace and love and unity.
And our music, you know, our music is about messages, you know, and each of our songs has a definite message, and ultimately it's unity and positivity, but it's that you can overcome anything, and it's just a very positive album that your children can listen to, that the grandparents can listen to, any age can listen to.
And you can still jam it in a club.
That's important. See, you know, I'm not going to mention any names, but you know there's some artists that you couldn't play, and I'm talking about females, that you couldn't play the music in front of your children.
True.
You know?
We want to be the balance.
Yeah.
Because we're not knocking any of the artists that are out there expressing themselves, because, you know,
they got to do what they got to do.
Exactly.
Definitely.
But there needs to be a balance, and that's what we want to bring. Right now, it's very out of balance, in my opinion.
Well, okay. Most definitely. I'll tell you this, sis. If I got into... Well, I got into reggae about 30 years ago. And if the lyrics were what some of these lyrics that we're talking about, I don't think I would have gotten into it. I mean, it wouldn't have been appealing to me.
But reggae is such a large, it's a title that covers, there are different types of reggae.
You're right.
And that's why all of it together, every single aspect needs to be, you know, brought out. You know, Bob brought out the roots and culture. And now in these days, because of the hip-hop era that we're in, you're seeing dancehall taking over to an extent. And it's like, we just need to make sure that,
there's a balance.
The roots and culture still come in full force, because, you know.
But I will say this, sis, and I think your father will agree with me, that this is a tougher time for you, youth out there. It is tougher, you know. I mean, with all of the things that we have today that we think are advancements can be detriments, you know. Like, you know, computer is a good thing, but so many youth have learned... Have not learned how to even write, and they don't read books anymore. They jump into the computer. So, you know, it's like, and when you listen to a song years ago, when you didn't have the computer, you had your own brain and mind where you can imagine what that song was. You didn't have MTV telling you, this is what it is, this is what it is. You know what I'm saying? There was sort of a naivete, I think, in those times. And so that's why I say it's tougher now. You know, and I give much respect to the youth that see the uphill battle that they have, and such as you young ladies, and are trying to say, put a balance in there, and let the people know that there are positive youth out there, because, you know, we hear the negative all the time, because I think that's what makes the money, is the negative. But we are grateful to have you two young ladies doing what you're doing.
You know what, I just want to say that music unifies on a whole, you know. Any type of music brings people together, whether it be the bangarang or whatever, brings people together. And if you can have a positive message out there on a wicked beat that's going to attract all different ages, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You can still get a message across, so that your kids can be singing those choruses in their heads when they're driving and that kind of thing. You know, that's what we're kind of pushing for. You know, to be able to invite everybody into the world of the music, you know, into the what we're trying to put across.
Well, I think with me and maybe some other people that have heard you, I know I'm going to try to make sure more people hear of you. And, you know, I was telling your dad, you know, you need to be seen in this area too. So whatever I can do, whatever I can muster up, you know, I'll do my best to help. And, you know, just keep going. Keep doing it.
You know what? Enough respect to you and to what you're doing and what you're promoting as a single parent and doing it and being a proud example of, you know, a man stepping up and taking the fathership role and, you know, doing it to the best of his ability. Enough respect to that, you know.
Well, I tell you this, sis. I wish I had known. If I knew today, back then, I did the best that I could, you know. But
that's all we can do.
Yeah, and I learned so much since that time. I said, "Man, boy, wish I had known that when she was 4 months old." You know. And listen, we're gonna move on here, and we want to thank you very much. We want to thank your dad. I know he said we were gonna try possibly a two-way. I don't know how that's gonna work, but is your dad there?
Oh yes, hold on, one second. Let me grab him because I have two daughters myself.
Oh, how old are they?
2 years old and 4 years old.
Oh, bless them, bless them.
Yes, absolutely. Jade and Shade. But anyway,
okay.
I'm going to pass you on to the manager and father.
All right. And enough respect.
Hello.
To you.
Thank
yes.
You.
Yes, Pop. Yes, Pop. Now, the proud father, will you let the listening audience know what you feel and about your daughters?
Well, I'm extremely proud of them. It's, as they say, one generation, the next generation should better the one before. And let me tell you, my daughters have far succeeded in that. It's just amazing. I mean, I was in show business myself. I was in the rock musical Hair.
Mm-hmm.
in England, and we traveled all to various cities on the national tour and worked with the likes of Joan Armour Trading and so on.
Yeah,
and, you know, it was just wonderful to see this happening, emerging from my daughters. One day I was on the veranda in Jamaica having a nice rum and ginger, and Bianca had just come down from Houston for the summer holidays, which they spent every summer holidays back in Jamaica because they couldn't wait to get back.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, "Dad, listen to this," and sang this number. I thought it was a track off the radio she'd been listening to up in Houston. And they said, "Do you want to hear another one?" I said, "Sure." And at the end of it, she said, "You know, I wrote those." And I was absolutely dumbfounded. I said, "What?" And she said, "Well, here's a book. Look, I've got all these lyrics of all these songs." And I was just so pleased. It was incredible. So they went back to the States, and I thought, you know what? These girls have really got the talent. I knew they were singing choirs and different things like that, but as far as being united as a group,
mm-hmm.
I didn't know anything about that, and that was all a surprise to me. And so when it was given to me, I thought, well, oh, yeah, I'm going to get behind my girls. So I flew up to Houston and put them into the studio, and we produced Live and Direct. Live and Direct was then subsequently entered into the Billboard Songwriters competition, and it won it outright. Outright, there were 10,000 entries.
Wow!
The girls won it national, and it was put in the pop category, not the reggae, because they didn't have a reggae per se. And I thought, wow, this is definitely a sign. And that's the same track, of course, that was sent to Sly and Robbie. And then, of course, the wonderful thing about it is that you get people like Sly and Robbie, Ernie Wranglin, UB40's Patrick Anthony, people like that jump on the album with us, and they just got the girls' vibe. It's just so wonderful. The fact that they're out of Africa, people look at them and they don't sort of understand. Oh,
I know what you mean, Tony. Is it Africa? These young ladies are from Africa? Well.
We were at Rebel Salute, and they walked on the stage, and there's this deadly silence. And you thought, what the heck are these white girls doing up on stage?
We get that all the time, okay?
But they call you white? Well, my daughter, people have actually called people that are dark brown skin white, and so
yeah.
You know, I mean, you know,
yeah. Don't judge a book by looking at the cover.
No, and there's all kind of hues, there's all kind of shades, you know, from high yellow to jet black.
You know, we have to remember all these people also that claim these that their origins and stuff. Some of them don't even fully know that they have other mixes in them too.
Oh,
you know,
it's true.
But they want to claim black, and it's like, you know, you have Indian in you, you know, you have this and that in you from way back, you know.
It's true.
So you can't really go out on a limb and be like, I am this.
Well, let me just tell you something that this surprised me. But okay, you have a black guy, two black guys, and a white guy. Now, it would seem like the two black guys would be more genetically related. But in actuality, in this particular situation, the black guy and the white guy were more genetically related than the black guy and the black guy.
Well, that shows you.
It definitely shows you. You know, looks are deceiving. You don't know what somebody has in their ancestry. You don't know.
Absolutely. And that's why Neutral Sisters embracing all the different nations, and the wonderful thing that they've actually lived in these various countries and gotten into the culture and got the vibe from the various countries that they've lived in. And so, of course, Neutral Sisters definitely was the perfect name for them.
I was just going to ask you that. That's where the name comes from, Neutral Sisters. Okay.
Yeah. When you go to the website, neutralsisters.com, you'll see the first thing that comes up is the globe with the flag surrounding it.
Mm-hmm.
The Kenyan flag, the English flag, the Jamaican flag, and the American flag. And mm-hmm. that's their signature. That's them. That's who they are. That's what they're made of. And it's wonderful to see that you've got first and third world combination coming in there. And it's very satisfying for me in terms of the fact that I'm what some people would refer as an English black man.
My wife, black man.
Their mother is a Jamaican white woman.
Okay. And you tell me now. Tell me again, Tony. What did you say your background was?
I was born in Birmingham, England.
Born in Birmingham.
Yeah. Of West Indian father and a Birmingham mother.
Okay.
English mother.
Okay.
And the girl's mother, of course, is missionaries of. From going way back, about fourth generation in Jamaica, way, way back,
mm-hmm.
Scottish and English.
Wow.
Heritage.
Wow.
And so you've got all these amazing mixes that come together. And of course, the girls being born in Kenya, for me, it's full cycle. It's going back to roots and saying, well, that's great. I knew my English background, but I knew very little about my West Indian heritage. So the opportunity came up for me to go to Kenya, and I jumped at it. And, you know, I didn't know that my two daughters would be born there. That was just meant to be. That was going to happen. It's part of the whole process. And I'm just so pleased. If I left show business to go to Africa, and I was doing wildlife safaris, and that was an amazing event anyway.
Well, you know, that's what they call... they called... my friend from Nigeria happened to tell me, he says, yeah, they called Kenya the zoo.
Oh, it's remarkable. It's like being the closest thing to heaven, because you got all this exotic wildlife, and I was right in the middle of it all.
That must have been exciting. Well, I sure would love to go. I don't even know which country, but Ghana seems to be the one that I want to go to. But I would love to go to Kenya.
East Africa has got the best wildlife in the world. South Africa has great wildlife too. I was down there for a while,
mm-hmm.
But not in the numbers that Kenya and Tanzania have between them. It's just absolutely amazing. But to have my two daughters born there, and then having the talent that they have that's developed over the years, and at the beginning stages secretly to me, I didn't really even know. And of course, all that was exposed, and then suddenly, we took off. And it's been a struggle to get out there, but there's a lot of people now tuning into Neutral Sisters, and it's been very, very well received.
Well, you told me my friend Elena Omano saw them, and I didn't contact her yet, but I'm gonna email her
give her
today.
A bell. Yeah. She saw the girls at Rebel Salute, and of course. She was very good friends with Pele Lanier.
Pele was a friend of mine also.
Yes, man. She was a Neutral Sisters manager. And because, of course, the girls went to school with her children in Jamaica.
Wow.
Years ago.
Because I know Muta very well, and Pele worked with Muta.
That's
so.
Right, because I met Muta in Pele's townhouse in Jamaica.
Yep.
The first time. And of course, she got interested in the girls when we had the track Live and Direct out there. I sent it to Pele, and she said, yeah, I'll get involved, which she did.
And Pele was such an amazing force for women in the music industry.
Well, tell me about it. I've known her for years,
She was so respected, and it took so much work and so much time, but she got it, man.
She did. She did.
Amazing woman. God bless her soul.
Well, the last time I saw her was actually at the New England Reggae Festival about 3 years ago. Muta was there and Culture was there. I just saw Culture Friday night in Poughkeepsie, New York. But didn't know that that would be the last time that I would see her, you know. And she always had that pleasant smile, you know, when she greeted you, you know.
Never knew it. And she was so beautiful. I mean, she was my African princess.
Oh, yeah. Very beautiful woman, you know. And, you know, I was just talking to Ansel today about all of the people that are leaving us now. You know, Justin Hines was close to me, and he's gone. And Jux, Junior Delgado just passed. And, you know, these artists are leaving. So we have to make room for the younger artists, such as your daughters and some of the younger... you know, some of these young artists, like a Luciano, you know, that's that brother. See, now, you know,
yeah.
I'll go see him anywhere.
Hey, I first saw my daughters perform. They were opening for Luciano. Big Mountain opened for the girls.
Mm-hmm.
The girls came on after them, after Big Mountain. And then Luciano came on after the girls. And that was in Negril.
Mm-hmm.
But the hair still on the back of my neck. I'm like, my God, it's my daughter. As the first live show I saw them perform was there with Luciano. And it was just an incredible experience.
What a proud dad, man.
And I thought, you know what? These girls really do have it.
But you know, also that show, I'm sorry, Dad, I have to butt in real quick. But that show, the sound, it was the first show that we had done that the sound was, like, absolutely amazing. Because we'd gone through, you know, you go through the trials and tribulations of the music and you don't get good sound because you're an opening artist.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
You know, and when we got to actually hear our voices come back clearly, it was lovely.
We're
like, my God.
That urges you on. That urges you on. Once you hear...
Oh, my gosh, yeah. It brings out everything.
You know, because I've been there, too. I've been a performing artist, too. And I will say this, that if I never perform again... The one thing and one place that I remember performing at was the Apollo Theater in Harlem in 1986 at a Bob Marley tribute with the headliner of Gregory Isaacs, Ras Tesfa, Peter Broggs, Frankie Paul. And I will tell you, Tony, what happened at the show. I can't, because we have a lot of Gregory lovers out here, but that show... I will just say it doesn't speak well for Gregory for that show. But that me standing up on that stage was so nostalgic because as a kid, I used to go to the Apollo to see artists like the Miracles and, you know, Frankie Lyman and Little Anthony and the Imperials. And to be up on that stage, I mean, it was just like, whoa, I was not on my 2 feet.
Isn't it great that Brendan Rush...
Hey, I was like floating, man.
Yeah,
and I still have I'm an archivist, so I still have a tape from that show, believe it or not.
Fantastic.
That's like when we went on Sumfest and on Reggae Salute, these huge shows that when you're younger you go to, and you know, even when you're too young to really be there, you're there.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
Actually being on the stage, it was kind of a trip because... You know, you go to Sumfest every year, and then suddenly you're on the stage. It's like, it was amazing.
Well, that is an amazing thing, because what I was saying, I played something earlier from 1984 when I first went to Jamaica at the Reggae Sunsplash, and Ross Michael opened it up. And I played that because that was one of my first tapings that I ever did. I had this big box, and I'm standing there in the middle of Jarrett Park just having a ball. You know, and I tell you, I won't forget stuff like that. I can't forget stuff like that. And for me to be able to bring that here and have that and have people hear that and share that with the people, you know, that's what it's all about for me.
Yeah.
And it's always great interviewing with someone that's been to Jamaica or has the reggae in their blood.
Oh, yes.
You know, 'cause it definitely...
5 times, sis. I've been there 5 times, and most times I go to country.
Well,
I was telling your dad, Anova. Opwell, Lookout District.
Opwell,
yes, sis.
Well, I tell you, I have to give a big up to Air Jamaica for a second, you know. when we were in Houston, they really made it possible for us to. The girls were commuting between Houston and Montego Bay, Jamaica, because they just put on the line. This is how God works, you know. Just after all this was happening for Neutral Sisters, when they were having to fly down to Miami, from Miami to Jamaica, it was a laborious trip and a long one. Suddenly, Air Jamaica were flying direct flights down, and we thought, thank you, Lord. Hop on the plane, straight down into the Jamaican vibe as soon as they'd step on in Houston, and suddenly they're home. And it was a tremendous flight to go directly to Jamaica.
Not to mention his champagne flights, so it's like start the party early.
Well, see, I'm
and
not.
No,
it's
Bianca,
just,
by
no,
the way.
No, I'm not going.
My sister's in the background saying, "Tell him it's Bianca talking."
Well, Bianca, let me just tell you. That rum put me in the hospital.
Oh, Lord, well,
let's
not overdo it.
No. It's overproof, but I didn't overdo it. I took a little capful, because, see, I don't drink, really.
Right.
I took a little capful, and I mixed that with a glass of water. That was still too strong for me.
Yeah,
I tell you.
You went for the hardcore.
Oh, my God. Well, that overproof is just too much.
Yeah, it's lethal.
Dangerous stuff.
Deadly. If you had to do is look at people's eyes that drink it and say, they got fire in their eyes.
But was that the white rum? Because you know
yep.
they have...
Yeah,
the,
yeah.
The stuff out of the mountains.
No, this...
The Krabati, which is like even... That's like killer. Let's really talk
well,
about
well, see, I'm glad. I would never touch it. I like the Aito Roots now. I drink an Aito Roots drink any day.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Well, after that.
You know, and
yeah,
man. Hey, but listen, we're gonna step out of here because this has been a really good interview, and I love it. And you guys are gonna get a copy of it. You're gonna get a copy of the whole today's show, the
right.
whole 6 hours. I'm gonna send you guys. You know, I'm gonna burn some CDs for you, and because I've been bigging you up, and you need to hit. Other people need to hit, and. Thankfully, we're on the World Wide Web, so there's enough people that's across the waters that heard the CD today, and maybe there'll be some feelers trying to find out, you know, where can we get it? Hey, we want them over here. Yeah, well, I want them in Binghamton. I want you guys up here.
We're well available.
Yes, ma'am. Yeah, we definitely want. We let's work towards that now, so we can get somebody. Promoter or whoever, we can make it possible for us to get up there and perform.
Now let me ask the sisters, because this is what I'm going to go out with, what is the favorite cut on the album?
Oh my god,
here's Kira.
The favorite cut on the album?
Yeah.
I have so many favorites because each one is so so full of messages, you know what I mean?
Well, let's say the two of you come to a conclusion on one cut then.
Oh, impossible.
We're sisters, you know.
I know. Well, just for the sake of the listeners here, why don't you two come to an agreement on one cut that you both like, and it may not be your favorites, but that you both can come to a conclusion on playing for the listeners.
Okay, well, I think we're going to have to say thank you, Father.
Thank you, Father.
You know, I like that one. I like that. I really like that one. And that is right on time with that one. Let me see. That's track 9. Let me just get that going here. And
because it's he who has carried this the whole way. You know, it's in his hands. So what will be, will be.
Yes. And then I said that already. You know, when I played the cut, I said, we're talking about Jah. But we're also talking about your daddy, your blood daddy.
Because
<Well,
laughs>
you have to thank your father, you thank the father, and you thank your daddy.
Yeah, definitely.
And I don't have to tell you that, because I know you do that anyway. But thank you for picking that choice. And on that note, we're going to bid you adieu. We're going to say thank you, and we're going to say respect due, and we're going to say keep doing the works.
Enough respect, Charles. Thank you so much.
And we will.
And look to be getting this in the mail soon, all right?
Yes, indeed.
Bless.
Thank you.
Then we'll say after good nights. Never get to see. Respect you to the Almighty Zine.